Welcome to another edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you very much for joining us on this Saturday and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time as we bring you New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And you know, one of the elements for being able to come up with new ideas, new concepts, new paradigms, to take a look at the choices that are out there, is to free your mind, to just open it up and shake out the cobwebs, if you'll pardon the pun, at this time of the year, as we have just shortly gone past Halloween, and kind of shake things up. And one of the ways to do that is through laughter. Now, a lot of us, I've met a lot of folks, I've been this way myself, we take ourselves and our beliefs, our paradigms, very seriously sometimes. There are times when it is important for us to step back and kind of take a look at what it is that we believe. And it's not a question of questioning your beliefs. It's a question of stepping back and being able to say, hey, this is a crazy world, isn't it? And just have a good old big guffaw fest, if you will. And today we're going to do that with my guest. She is a comedian. She is the human comedian. Of course, what other kind is there? We'll find out. From Vanda, who loves to tout the slogan, enlighten up, folks. Vanda, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Richard. It's great to be here.
Now, where are you today?
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm home in Venice, 6 blocks from the beach, my little place.
Mm-hmm. And so it was a little too inconvenient for you to just take another hour and a half drive up the coast, wasn't it? I saw you perform at Yoga Soup a few months back, and you were very funny. How long have you been performing comedy? Or maybe a better question is, how long you been funny?
I've been funny. Well, I wasn't always funny, but I've been performing since the early '80s, and I was a mainstream comic back in New York in the '80s, and then I went off on my spiritual adventures and followed a bunch of different spiritual paths. I was in a lot of what my mom thought was of as cults. And explored a lot of different fringe belief systems and stuff. And then a bunch of my friends made the movie What the Bleep Do We Know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized I wasn't such a weirdo. I could come out of the closet with my understandings about things and joke about it. So about 5 years ago, I started my career as a, I guess you would call it spiritual, metaphysical, transformational comedian.
And that, which is rather unique, I know that there are wise ones, if we want to put that term on them, who can be funny, but they are not. They don't tout themselves as comedians or jokesters or jesters or whatever other term you want to come up with. But you come right out and you say, look, I'm on a spiritual journey just like you, and ain't it funny?
It is, yeah. I mean, I find it, do you find it, I find it funny. I find it hysterical sometimes and absurd and wonderful and very tricky, you know, tricky. Like, the minute you think you kind of got something handled, like, I think I'm enlightened 1 minute and then I'm a jerk the next minute.
We kind of get our comeuppance, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm telling everyone not to take things so seriously, and then I find myself taking things seriously. There's such a M.C. Escher-like quality to this, you know? Sometimes I'm like, where is the freedom? Where is the freedom? Oh, I got some freedom. I got some freedom. And, oh, damn, lost the freedom. Jeez Louise. You know, it's like, it really is like that sometimes, you know? So, but I just drove down the coast listening to one of my favorite teachers, Byron Katie, who I love. I'm sort of a junkie for all the contemporary spiritual teachers. Like, I love Eckhart Tolle and Deepak and Wayne Dyer and all those guys. I mean, it doesn't even matter if they're commercial and mainstream. I still love them.
Well, I don't know about Wayne. I don't know if Wayne Dyer necessarily falls into contemporary because he's been around since I was a kid. I was listening to him on talk radio back in Phoenix in the 70s, and he was talking about at that time your erroneous zones, and I thought that was an interesting conversation in and of itself. But he's come a long way as well.
Yeah, he's like 90. He looks great.
And he has more hair than me, too. Well, Vanda, we're going to...
Oh, you're cute. You're cute, Richard. We met.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what, Vanda, the beautiful lady that you are, we're going to keep you on for the whole hour until the top of the hour, and we're going to talk more about your journey, where you've been, and where you are today and where you're going, as well as maybe some appearances that you may be having down the road here along the coast and maybe where people might be traveling. So we'll talk more about that. As we continue talking with comedian Vanda here on the Tell Me Your Story radio program. Almost forgot where I was. And this is New Paradigms for a New World. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Restoring balance and joy to your life can be achieved by letting go of negative thought patterns and destructive habits. Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Hi, this is Datewise, brought to you by It's Just Lunch. Let's go to our first caller, Sandy.
Hello?
Sandy, where are you?
I'm on a date.
You're calling from a date? What's the problem?
He won't stop talking. Listen.
I think I did pretty well.
It's like I'm not even here.
Ah, yes, you've got yourself a drone. Order nachos immediately.
Nachos?
Drones are usually the first to chow down on anything you're supposed to share.
Okay.
When his mouth's so jammed he can't talk for a second, you quickly excuse yourself. Tell him you're late for yoga.
Yoga? Nice touch.
Oh, and Sandy, next time call the dating experts at It's Just Lunch. They'll match you with someone you're actually interested in. Dan, you're on the air.
Hi, my date just left for yoga before I could finish my story, which was really...
Ooh, we're out of time. It's Just Lunch. The grown-up way to date. It's Just Lunch.
Go to itsjustlunch.com or call 1-800-747-5555. That's 1-800-747-5555.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at Nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out Nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Tell me your story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices. We're giving you the choice to laugh today with Vanda. And is it Michalowski? Michalowski?
Yes.
I got it right. I can't believe it. I actually got it right the first time. Well, we'll just refer to you as Vanda, the funny lady. You were here in Santa Barbara a few months back, as I said, at Yoga Soup. I just, out of curiosity, are you going to be heading this way any time in the near future?
I did have something going on with a church, a New Thought Church in Santa Barbara. I was talking to the people at the Center for Spiritual Living. I think that's what it's called.
Oh.
It's a small church, a small center.
Well, yeah, we'll pack it out.
That. Good. That would be awesome. A
couple thousand of people will get you there.
Yes. Nice.
Great.
And I always want to do gigs around L.A., you know, so I might look at Unity again. Yoga Soup wasn't the perfect venue for stand-up comedy. You need something a little more with a microphone and that's set up for speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Stand-up demands a certain technical set up that other things don't demand.
Yeah. Now, in spite of the fact that you make light of your own spirituality, your own search and quest and the things that you've come upon over your life, you take this whole comedy thing seriously. This is a real commitment for you.
Yeah. You know, when I turned 45 years old, I thought, what do I really want to do? I was living out in the woods outside of I used to be with the Jay-Z Night Gang up there in Yelm, Washington, and I had no longer was I with them, and sort of living out in the woods, and I had done a lot of personal growth work at Landmark Education, and I kind of wanted to make a difference with my life, you know, and make an impact in some way. And so I was looking at the hyphen between the year of my birth and the year of my death, and I thought, what do I want to use that hyphen for, you know? That's my hyphen. I want a kick butt hyphen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what my two favorite things: laughing and insights. You know, breakthrough thinking, new paradigm shifts, and things. So I thought, well, why don't I take everything that I've gathered in my search and all the funny stuff and put it together and endeavor to write a show. And then I thought, gosh, you know what? This is pretty novel. It wasn't like I was trying to find this niche. Everyone goes, nice niche. And I'm like, actually, it's my authentic self-expression. It's what I talk to my girlfriends about on the phone, you know? Yeah.
So in terms of, putting together material, and I mean, we could sit here and roll off the names of the great spiritual teachers of this age or ages gone by. And they're saying basically all the same thing, but it's our individual experiences that you kind of, you put a little twist on. I mean, your experiences, but maybe even some of those that people share with you.
Yeah. Like, for example, there was a lady in an airplane not too long ago who was really loud, and I was noticing that there was irritation arising within my being. And everything in me wanted to say, she's irritating. She is an irritating person. But I've been trained enough to know that no one is irritating. I'm irritated. It certainly looks like she's irritating. It certainly feels like it's she who is irritating. But, you know, all the great spiritual teachers say, you know, the same thing. If you spot it, you got it. And he who smelt it, dealt it. You know, all the spiritual teachings. And so I'm like, okay, really, she's sound waves hitting my eardrums, right? I find irritation arising within me when sound waves hit my eardrums. But then I go, you know what? The garbage truck on Tuesday morning is the same amount of decibels, but that doesn't bother me. She bothers me. And then I go, oh, okay, so it's some attitude I'm recognizing in her that I'm judging her for. And then I'm like, well, then, okay, so I must have a reference point in me. And I'm talking to my audience, and I go, where do I do that? But, I mean, really, I don't do that. Where in the world do I broadcast every single one of my precious opinions to captive rooms of people in an amplified manner? I mean, where do I do that? And then it dawns on the audience, wait a minute, where doesn't she do that? Like, I do that everywhere, you know? So, It was funny. As soon as I had that thought, the lady no longer bothered me.
Isn't that interesting?
She even shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's fascinating. There are sort of two schools of thought, and one is that you've just kind of mentioned that what we deem as, and we'll use the term irritation, what we deem as irritating to us from the outside of us is in us, that we're irritated by our own stuff. And it's got to be maddening when you know this. You just said that with your training, you know this. It's a part of your being. That's got to drive you nuts. It's like, but I want her to be irritating me. I don't want it to be me. I don't want to take responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then Greek philosopher Epictetus says it's never what happens to you that disturbs you. It's your thought about what happens to you that disturbs you. Yeah, I mean, to be a victim, that's like everyone wants to be a victim. It's comfortable, and it's at some point, you know, you kind of get lose interest in it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you've been in workshops. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Well, I was going to say you've been through workshops and programs where, you know, people will stand up in a group setting, and of course, these kinds of workshops and programs, like years ago with EST and LifeSpring and some of the other names that just aren't rolling off my tongue right now, you'll stand up and they'll be posing this situation, and someone will stand up and say, "Well, I'm confused." They're trying to answer the question, but they just say, "I'm confused." And I love the response that I used to hear in one of the programs I went through was, "Well, isn't confusion a wonderful state to live in?" You know, and the catchphrase is, "Well, if you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be." So obviously you want to be here because here you are.
Yeah.
And in spite of the fact that they all seem to be platitudinous, if you will, they all have that ring of truth. They slam us. They kind of hit us in the face like a 2x4 saying, "Do you get it yet? Do you get it yet? Do you get it?"
Yeah, what I'm kind of excited about now, I've been listening to Byron Katie's work a lot, and she's all about living in harmony with reality, with what is. And a lot of people don't like that concept because acceptance, that kind of acceptance of what is, sounds like tolerance, and it's not. You know, it's something else she's talking about. It's actually adopting a posture where you really don't mind anything that comes at you. It's really fine with you. And she actually pedestalizes reality in a way that I've never heard before. She says, "My God is reality because it rules, you know, but only 100% of the time."
Only 100%.
And I love that. Yeah. What would it be like to be okay with life as it comes at you?
Yeah.
And really be okay with it. You know, because it's the culture of complaint that we have here. You know, I mean, it's not unusual to walk outside and see another human being and have him go, as a bonding thing, "Thank God it's Friday," you know.
Mm-hmm. And which means
and
the other
go,
six.
Oh, yeah. And you kind of smile and go, "Yeah, aren't we victims?"
Yeah. And boy, the other 6 days are just garbage.
Exactly. You know, as opposed to when you're a child, and I do this on stage, you know, I talk about being the urgency of a child, you know, where you just wake up in the morning and your first thought is, "I'm back! Life! Look at it! It's life!" You know? It's so cool! And they don't want to go to bed at night because they might miss something. It's like, what happened to the urgency?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you know how children have been when they injure themselves, you know, I've watched every once in a while, I'll see a little kid, and the little kid's going along, having a great time, playing, da-da-da-da-da, falls down, bangs his arm, bumps his head, her head, what have you. They stop for a moment, they examine, they cry, they stop, and then they go on playing again. I find that so fascinating.
Yeah.
But we as adults, what do? We bump our arm, our head, do those kinds of things. We examine it, and we cry, and we cry, and we cry some more.
And then we develop an identity around it. I have fibromyalgia. I have this. I have that. I'm not saying people don't have certain symptoms and things, but if you, or it's like Eckhart says, if you want to know if your identity is wrapped up in it, ask, have someone say, no, you don't.
Mm.
And see if that arises, see if something arises about defending your position, you know?
Yeah.
Because I know I used to say, I'm depressed. I have, you know, like most comedians have a rich history of depression. And I would tell my coach, I'm depressed. I can't get out of bed. And he'd say, that's a lie. And I go, what do you mean? That's not a lie. I really can't get out of bed today. It would take everything I have to roll out of bed and land on all fours right now. And he goes, yeah, but if I set the house on fire, you would. And I'm like, very busted.
The right kind of motivation will get you moving. Let me ask you, how would you respond to this question? I am, and you fill in the blank.
Oh, that's tricky, you know, because anything that's nameable is not what it really is, you know what I mean? That's the tricky part about the ineffable, or the whatever you call it, the Tao, the great eternal essence of what we all are, you know? Like, I was just having this discussion on Facebook with a friend of mine who is, you know, having a romantic encounter with another woman, but she refuses to call herself gay. She says, I'm so much bigger than what a label like that. And I might change on a dime. I don't know. You know?
So,
and I say, wow, it's really any label you give yourself is, it kind of belittles the thing. There's really no name for this life force sitting here in a skin bag called Vanda.
Thank you for referring to it as skin bag.
Yeah. It's a meat puppet. It's the body temple. It's gorgeous, and
yes.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things that I think will probably pass. Yeah. You know, barring immortality, that
right.
might happen. I'm not saying it's impossible. That's a possibility. Anything's possible. But I don't have any evidence in my family line that it's happened. I could be the first immortal.
Keeping your options
I'll go
open.
For immortal.
Keeping your options open, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just
going to... But as I see it, yeah.
And
I am... The most accurate thing is I am.
There you go. Now, on the line on the line that you just were speaking on, I just out of curiosity, because this kind of goes to a point. In this lifetime, how many cars have you owned? Roughly. Just roughly.
Nine.
Okay. We don't know because we don't, as you just stated, that you don't really have any evidence to the contrary that we live other lives or that we will live immortally in this physical body or vehicle. But who knows? I mean, some say that we change vehicles, you know, our essence, that which animates this physical skin bag. You know, we don't know if we're going to take on another one or what other type of vehicle we'll take on when we leave this vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to lean toward the theory of reincarnation, although, you know, any belief system has its inherent problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I've always said that if a baby comes into this world with a rock in his hand through the womb, then he brought it from another world and another time. So we can carbon date it and see.
Yeah, I really am with Socrates on beliefs and knowledge and stuff like that. I really love what Socrates said. He had a mantra that was, I know nothing. And I may be being a know-it-all about that, but but I really love his point of view.
Uh-huh.
I love how he says, basically, you know, we interpret photons all day long, and we interpret sound waves, you know, and so I don't even know if my experience of reality is, if there's any, you know, a reality really out there. Quantum physics says that there's no out there independent of in here,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my head. So I really don't know about anything, really. I mean, can we know? We used to have a myth that all the smart people believed, which was the world is flat. And then, you know, just a few years later, we have another myth saying the world is round. And I call that a myth because I don't know if the world really exists at all, or if it does, you know, what's my evidence that the world is round? Well, there was a photograph taken from outer space, but there's been photographs taken of mirages, too, and I don't argue for their reality, you know. So whole question of reality is an interesting quandary for human beings. What gauge do we use to assess what's true or what's real or what we know?
I mean, you think about the photograph of the image of the Earth. All we're seeing is a disc, and perceivably, it's a half sphere. We don't see the other side. And by the way, to that end, I've been searching on the internet for pictures of the Earth from the other side and from different angles and so forth. I find very few images of the Earth from outer space other than the ones that are showing the United States. I know there are satellites orbiting above the poles and in different angles, but for some reason, and I Google Earth from space, and I seem to get the same images. And I was watching a commercial yesterday. They used the same image that I used for my logo for Link Listen Live on my website. It's like the national advertiser is using the same picture that I am? Aren't there others?
Isn't that wild?
It's weird. And it's of the United States on the face of the Earth. I mean, it's like, what's the deal there?
China does not exist.
Oh my God. Oh, okay. Now I understand. Vanda Michalowski is my guest, and you have a website where people can find out all about you. There's even a video they can watch. What is that website?
Pretty Pictures.
Pretty Pictures, yes.
It's Vanda.us. So VANDA.us, like United States.
Ah, yes.
And it is, there's a pretty up-to-date schedule on there. I've got some things coming up in L.A., and I've got some things coming up. I'm hosting a show on Wednesday night, the Quantum Activist screening with Amit Goswami, who you might have had on your program. He's a quantum physicist from What the Bleep Do We Know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a movie out called Quantum Activist. And so I'll be making jokes about quantum physics in a way that, Amit is a quantum physicist. He's not an entertainer.
Right.
I'm an entertainer, so we're going to get together and make science sexy.
Oh, hey, I like that. He's a quantum physicist, and you're not.
Exactly.
Okay.
He has no cleavage, and I do.
Ah, hey. Well, what is it they say? If you've got it, flaunt it. So
exactly.
He should shave his head and show it off. Anyway, I'm curious as far as the word quantum, because it's as if every time I talk with somebody about new paradigms, new ideas, new belief systems, the word quantum comes up. It doesn't matter what they're talking about. It has to be quantum physics. Before, it was just physics. And even before that, I don't know what the name was. I don't know what the name for physics was before it was physics. But it seems like quantum is just like the end thing to have. Maybe I should change my show's name to Quantum, Tell Me Your Story.
Basically, yeah, if you put quantum in front of anything that you do, you can double your fees immediately. Quantum acupuncture.
Yeah.
Quantum
McDonald's. The quantum Big Mac
actually,
or something.
I actually tell my audiences that, and it's funny because there are people who call their stuff quantum massage therapy or whatever. It's like the new thing. I mean, in physics, it does distinguish the new physics from the older, Newtonian model. But it is kind of a buzzword.
Well, I'm asked to learn about quantum physics. I haven't even grasp the general concepts of the old physics, and now I'm asked to learn the new one. I mean, it's very interesting, very interesting.
And I've been kind of immersed in it lately because I'm going to do this thing with Amit Goswami, and it's wacky. If it doesn't blow your mind, you're not getting it. You know, it's that kind of thing.
And maybe that is it. I can't wrap my brain around it, or vice versa, and so I'm just sitting here going, I have the aha moments when people talk about the concepts, the aspects of quantum physics, whether I watch the movie What the Bleep or Down the Rabbit Hole or any of the other videos. There's another one out called, where did the concept? Oh, The Living Matrix, which came out just a few weeks ago. They had the premiere down in the Hollywood. I was there and had an opportunity to participate there or to view it and then sit in on the panel discussion with Eric Pearl and Lynn McTaggart and a few other notables as well. And it's interesting, you know, the type of people that are drawn to these types of things. And I say that in that these are people that are questioning. Would you say that an honest metaphysician or a spiritual person is one who says, kind of like what you were saying before, I don't know. I'm searching, but I don't know.
Yeah, that kind of an open mind is, I think, fundamental, you know, because, well, first of all, every time everyone's ever come up with something new, a new model, a new paradigm for something like Galileo, Copernicus, we off these guys. That, you know, that's what mainstream consciousness is all about, is offing the people, the tall poppies, they call it in Australia. Any poppy that rises up above the other poppies, you got to hack it off so that the field occurs as aesthetically pleasing. So when people rise up who are visionary and forward-thinking, you know, like I think Amit Goswami is one of those guys. I don't know, but I think he is. He's a departure from classical, you know, physics, and even among quantum physicists, he's kind of a renegade. And, you know, everyone knows in the science world that science progresses one funeral at a time as the old guard dies off.
Yeah.
And the stuffy old guys who are getting the money for research stop living. That's when the new guys can come along and forward new ideas that they don't agree with, that are not agreeable. So your question, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's a really wise place for someone to stand. But then I don't know.
Thanks a lot.
For me, it's kind of a reaction because I belong to a spiritual community years ago where people started valuing what they know. You know, and people were talking about, well, I do know this, and I know this, and I know this. I know that I am God. I know that we are divine. I know that we are one. I know that one consciousness is primary, or that consciousness, the ground of being out of which everything arises, there's a unified field to it, you mm-hmm. know. And so that's what people are saying they know now, you know, that man and woman, we are divine.
Yeah.
We are God.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what a lot of people are saying now. And I'm like, okay, could be. And or, you know what? The Scientologist might be right.
Yeah, well, I mean, take your pick,
really,
quite honestly.
Because the thing is, we want to call ourselves open-minded and conscious.
Uh-huh.
But the minute you call yourself conscious, the thing you're not conscious of is where you might be unconscious, you know? We're not even looking there the minute we call ourselves conscious or open-minded. I'm doing my damnedest to call myself open-minded, but I really keep looking at where I'm closed-minded and where I'm, like I said before, a jerk. Everything in me on that airplane wanted to blame that woman.
Yeah.
Everything in me.
Yeah. I just had one of those aha. Oh, and I'm confused too. When you explain that, it's like, I got it. And it's like, huh? I think that's the schizophrenia setting in there. Vanda is my guest. She is a comedian and she's traveling about, and you can go to vanda.usa, vanda.usa, and check out her website and her videos and her pretty pictures and her schedule and all of the things that she has available for you to keep you laughing and keep you searching, keep you questioning as well. Is that indeed, as you, I think you did reiterate too at the beginning of the program, that your comedy isn't just designed to make people laugh, and it's not just designed to kind of poke fun itself, but it's also designed to give people that aha moment every once in a while?
Oh, that's my big dream. That's my love. You know, whenever I've made an impact on another human being, made a difference for them, that's what opens my heart and has me feel like, you know, this is what my life is for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Anytime that I can give some clarity by the, which is why I stay rigorous with myself about my own spiritual disciplines and stuff. It's the stuff of my humanity that has value for others. It's never how enlightened you are, quote-unquote enlightened, that has value for another human being. It really is, I think, the stuff of your humanity that they value most. So as a comic, I'm always talking about where I noticed how phony I am, how what a liar I can be, how I'm watching myself be very human and you know, exaggerate or drop names and then be embarrassed about it. You know, things like that. All that very human stuff
mm-hmm.
is, to me, access to our power and freedom as human beings, because the more we try to, the more we deflect that stuff in ourselves, our shadow side, as Diane Ford calls it, the less we have a chance of fully shining, until we can accept, I think, our darkness, you know? Mm. Wow, that just sounded like a quote.
Ooh, that's deep. Well, now, but isn't there also a danger there in becoming overly self-deprecating? I mean, I've met a number of people. They're very talented. They enjoy what they do for the most part, but they always seem to be putting themselves down. And then what they do is they then chalk it up to, well, I'm only human. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I think being human is pretty neat. And you're putting it down, you know, and so they I mean, we kind of are on a teeter totter here as far as self esteem, if you will, and what have you. You don't want to go too far either way, but I notice a lot of people they don't have the kind of confidence in themselves that you would think that a spiritual person, even on a searching who is searching, would have.
Well, here's what I would say if they were with me and I was listening to that conversation. I would say that, you know, it's a very Buddhist and difficult to understand, I guess, in some cases. But where I come from is that they aren't worthy, and they're not unworthy, and they're not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, that they're neither mm-hmm. of those. And I've this is from someone who's dealt with a lot of very low self-esteem issues my whole lifetime, and some pretty debilitating self-sabotaging voices in my head. And what I've been getting from 6 years of pretty intense coaching with my amazing coach, Anurag Gupta, is that I'm nothing. And when I say that, I don't mean that. I mean that like everything. I mean nothing, everything. The great, I'm not on a scale of worthiness or unworthiness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People go, love yourself. And I'm like, what do you mean love yourself? None of us even know what self is.
Yeah.
Love yourself. You know, it's a hard, that's not a useful piece of advice for me ever, when people say, just love yourself. You're worth it. You're mm-hmm. just so worth it. No, I'm not. I'm not worth it, and I'm not unworth it. The worthiness question is a Christian or Judeo-Christian contrivance that happened because people wanted to enslave the masses, you know, and wow, I'm sorry that just came out of my mouth. It did.
Well, it's too late now.
Yeah, there's no, who came up with worthy or unworthy? Where did that question even get put on the table?
Yeah.
We all were just fine being, until worthy and unworthy came along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was fine being. That whole question of whether you're a sinner or a not sinner, or, you know,
I find it sad. Well, in my upbringing in broadcasting in a religious station, I would hear these not only self-deprecating but other deprecating messages about how we were nothing but lowly worms, and we should just be stamped out by the heel of God's boot, if you will, you know. And I thought, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that, because if we don't have any value, then why did all the other stuff happen that we read about in the first four books of the Bible, and then the book of Acts, and then all of the other stuff? If we had no value, then what? Then if we have no value, then why did he do it? You know, that kind of...
Yeah.
So obviously we had to have had some value, a great value. But then
well,
going back
you know,
to your question.
My boyfriend Eckhart Tolle says, in fact, we're here to enable the divine purpose of the universe to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, again, I don't know, could be. I like that interpretation, and it gives me more wind under my wings than some other interpretation. Ultimately, it's all, you know, interpretation. Who knows?
That's true.
We do know that we're conscious, right? There's an awareness over here, and there's reality, and there's life. And, in some ways, I think, why do we even need belief systems? They just mess with everything, don't they? And they tend to be like diapers. They hold in all your crap, and they cover your butt. Oh, I believe this, you know, and then they hold in all your crap.
Well, last night my wife and I went to see a movie. I wasn't real thrilled to go see it because the previews, blah blah blah. I went to see this movie, The Fourth Kind. After getting through about five sixths of it or whatever, six fifths or however that works out. Anyway, almost to the end. I'm looking at this thing, remembering when I went to see The Blair Witch Project, and thinking, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't believe this happened. And I'm sitting here watching this movie last night, and I'm going, this is going to turn out, I'll bet you, to be another Blair Witch BS story, and I'm not going to be taken in. And even if it is true, if we don't have control over them taking us, then what difference does it make? You know? I became very cynical very quickly near the end of the movie going, because they kept reinforcing the attitude at the beginning and the end of the movie, hey, it's up to you what you choose to believe. The actor, they had one of the actresses at the beginning and the end of the movie out of character basically saying that, we're going to present it, and it's up to you to decide. You believe what you want. Here's the evidence. You make up your own mind. And I'm thinking, then this is just a fairy tale. I'm not saying that these things don't happen to people. I will never.
Yeah.
If you were to say to me, Vanda, hey, look, I was abducted by aliens and I had this probe and that thing happened to me and I've got some children that will be coming along in another world somewhere. Who am I to say that you didn't have those experiences?
Yeah. Boy, I hang out with the woo-woo crowd quite a bit. I call them the angel and dolphin crowd, and they're to the left of the fairy and unicorn bunch and to the right of the crop circle and alien record probe gang. And I don't know. I don't know what's up with all that probing, but I wish it would stop.
I wish it would stop, too.
Stop the probing. I'm going to get a bumper sticker for my car with an alien face on it that says, stop the probing.
That's right.
This probing.
We're going to we'll get a congressional hearing going.
Really, exactly. Oh, God. So, yeah. But that's the thing is that, you know, I'm always, as a comedian, I'm trained to be a little skeptical about human beings and our tendency to attached to an identity about anything. And every time I hear someone, because I'm a yoga teacher too, right? So I hear people being kind of precious and sacrosanct even with their points of view about spirituality and woo-woo stuff, airy-fairy stuff. People who use the word energy a lot. like it's all energy. And probably I'll use the word energy in the next sentence, But the woo-woo crowd, yeah, I don't know. I make fun of us. I make fun of us weirdos, you know, just because I know I know when people have an identity about their enlightenedness, you know, and I have one. I realized I had one when I was talking on the phone to a friend, and I was in Whole Foods, right, she said, I dare you to go up to someone and ask really loud where the Kraft cheese processed cheese food is. The individually wrapped cheese slices. And I was like, oh my God, I so couldn't do that. You know, like I so see myself as a sophisticated foodie,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I couldn't appear that unhip and naive and unsophisticated.
By the way,
you know, and then I realize I really have an identity wrapped up around that, you know, that little piece right there.
Yeah. Well, now that you used a word there that I find fascinating, and it was defined for me the other night when we were out eating, the term foodie. And it was told to me that a foodie is someone who eats food. Well, then why give it a name? Because we all eat food. I mean, how many people out there, raise your hands, only eat dirt? Or or sand? Or rocks? Or, I mean, it's all food. And so why is this name food? How has this crept into our lexicon?
Well, you know, there's some people who take everything to an extreme. How come we don't call them sexies?
Well,
there's some people who put a lot of energy into sex or, I'm a sexy.
Yeah.
S-E-X-I-E. A connoisseur of fine sex.
That's
and
right.
Food.
Both. Gourmet.
Yeah.
A gourmet.
Yeah.
Well, Vanda, stay with us. We're going to continue talking with you as we wrap up the program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as we have a good laugh here on a Saturday afternoon.
Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. Through Angel Healing House, I can help you release emotional issues and physical ailments and finally find your inner strength to regain health, clarity, and balance in your life. Find your joy again by booking your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close.
Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
Okay, stand by. I may want to get you a man hold right now until they go, and I'll go. Stand by.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competence, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800. That's 564-0800 or monarchwealthstrategies.com.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes. And on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones. All the trouble that you know empties out as you go. Walk with me, talk with me.
Tell me your story. New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Vanda Michalowski, and she is a comedian. I've seen it phrased that you're the human comedian, asking people to enlighten up. And I like that. I like the phraseology there. That's a wonderful turn of words, and we thank you so much for sharing yours with us today.
Thank you.
Before we wrap up the program, I want to make sure and let our listeners know that you do have materials available on your website, available for purchase. You have a DVD out of some of your work, and it'll keep them in, let's give it highfalutin concept here. It'll keep them in spiritual stitches.
There you go. Well, yeah, it's vanda.us, and there's a right on the front page, there's a link to PayPal that they can click on. It's $20 for my DVD. And it's a very funny shoot that I did in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
A good place.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of
a lot of alien
presence probably up in Idaho in the northern part of the country where not much goes
alien.
On.
You guys are big alien guys, aren't you? I'm so sorry to be one of the few people who's never actually been abducted or seen an alien and seen a ship or anything. Nothing.
Yeah. Well,
nothing. I have no evidence of that.
I can say that when I was in Sedona, Arizona a few years back, I was told that I just saw a UFO. I watched a light in the sky move from one part of the sky to the other, and I was told that was a UFO. I was like, okay, if you say so. What do I know?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get its license
either,
plate.
Richard. Yeah, one of my dear friends who sleeps outside a lot, she said, well, of course you haven't seen a UFO. You don't sleep outside, and they're not going to come get you out of your bed. They know how much you love your bed, you know.
That's right. Before I let you go, let me ask you one final question. You've been doing this kind of work for many years, and certainly you could have done a lot of other things, gone a lot of different other directions. Why this and why now?
Well, it's, you know, like I said, my two favorite things, ahas and ha-has, insights and laughter. Those are my two favorite things. I thought I'd put them together. And as I, you know, I'm 50 now, so I'm walking into a phase of life where I think I actually have something to offer people in a way that they can hear, because I, you know, I'm not an authority figure. And I've lived through a lot of... you know, a lot of stuff, a lot of death and despair and depression and drug addiction, all the D's,
mm-hmm.
all the D words. And so I'm actually in, I think everyone has a unique contribution that their unique life circumstances and life situations describes, you know, and a unique thing to give. And the degree to which we live our lives in alignment with that is the degree to which we experience fulfillment and satisfaction. So I have, like, a deep fulfillment about what I'm doing. Like, mm-hmm. I love my work. And so that's it. I don't know why, but I guess that's it. It calls to me.
Cool. Very cool. Well, we thank you for calling to us, as it were, and sharing this hour with us here on Tell Me Your Story. And definitely let us know when some of these other wonderful projects that you're working on manifest, and we will have you on to talk about them.
Awesome. It's been really great being with you, Richard.
By the way, you know, we were talking before about, you know, being self-deprecating. I think we made some mistakes in this show. Let's do this again, okay? We're just going to start over right here and right now. Okay. Welcome to... I don't know where that came from.
Did I mess up?
I
messed up.
We got to do it again. You made a mistake, so we have to start from square one. No, actually, it's been a great hour, and I look forward to doing this again very soon.
Really great.
I ask you to stay on the line. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we certainly hope you'll tune in every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. as we come your way via the internet as well at richarddugan.com. You can listen live. You can also hear this show and all of the programs that we've done since September of 2007, the Tell Me Your Story series. And we encourage you to do so. richarddugan.com. Go to the radio show page. Until next Saturday at 3 p.m., love to all. Have a great week.